Chapter 23. The Stancy went into the room adjoining, opened an album of portraits that lay on the table, and selected one of a young man quite unknown to him, whose age was somewhat akin to theirs, but who in no other attribute resembled him. The Stancy placed this picture in the original envelope, and returned with it to the chief constable, saying he had found it at last. "Thank you, thank you," apostrophe said Cunningham Hayes, looking it over. "I perceive it is not what I expected to see. Mr. Somerset was mistaken." Apostrophe apostrophe, when the chief constable had left the house, Captain De Stancy shut the door and drew out the original photograph. As he looked at the transcript of their features, he was moved by a painful agitation, till recalling himself to the present, he carefully put the portrait into the fire. During the following days, Captain De Stancy's manner on the roads, in the streets, and at barracks, was that of Crusoe after seeing the print of a man's foot on the sand. Anybody who had closely considered there at this time would have discovered that, shortly after the arrival of the Royal Horse Artillery at Markton Barracks, he gave up his room at the inn at Sleeping Green, and took permanent lodgings over a broker's shop in the town above mentioned. The peculiarity of the rooms was that they commanded a view lengthwise of the barrack lane along which any soldier, in the natural course of things, would pass either to enter the town, to call at Myrtle Villa, or to go to Stancy Castle. There seemed to act as if there were plenty of time for his business. Some few days had slipped by when, perceiving Captain De Stancy walk past his window and into the town, Dare took his hat and cane, and followed in the same direction. When he was about 50 yards short of Myrtle Villa on the other side of the town, he saw De Stancy enter its gate. Dare mounted a stile beside the highway and patiently waited. In about 20 minutes De Stancy came out again, and turned back in the direction of the town, till Dare was revealed to him on his left hand. When De Stancy recognized the youth, he was visibly agitated, though apparently not surprised. Standing still a moment, he dropped his glance upon the ground, and then came forward to Dare, who having alighted from the stile stood before the captain with a smile. "My dear lad," apostrophe apostrophe said De Stancy, much moved by recollections. He held Dare's hand for a moment in both his own, and turned askance. "You are not astonished," apostrophe said Dare, still retaining his smile, as if to his mind there were something comic in the situation. "I knew you were somewhere near. Where do you come from?" Apostrophe, "from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it, as Satan said to his maker. Southampton last, in common speech." Apostrophe apostrophe, "have you come here to see me?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "entirely. I divined that your next quarters would be Markton, the previous batteries that were at your station having come on here. I have wanted to see you badly." Apostrophe, "you have?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I am rather out of cash. I have been knocking about a good deal since you last heard from me." Apostrophe apostrophe, "I will do what I can again." Apostrophe apostrophe, "thanks, Captain." Apostrophe apostrophe, "but, Willie, I am afraid it will not be much at present. You know I am as poor as a mouse." Apostrophe apostrophe, "but such as it is, could you write a check for it now?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I will send it to you from the barracks." Apostrophe apostrophe, "I have a better plan. By getting over this stile we could go round at the back of the villas to Sleeping Green Church. There is always a pen and ink in the vestry, and we can have a nice talk on the way. It would be unwise for me to appear at the barracks just now." Apostrophe apostrophe, "that's true." Apostrophe apostrophe, De Stancy sighed, and they were about to walk across the fields together. "No," apostrophe said Dare, suddenly stopping. "My plans make it imperative that we should not run the risk of being seen in each other's company for long. Walk on, and I will follow. You can stroll into the churchyard, and move about, as if you were ruminating on the epitaphs. There are some with excellent morals. I'll enter by the other gate, and we can meet easily in the vestry room. The Stancy looked gloomy, and was on the point of acquiescing, when he turned back and said, "Why should your photograph be shown to the chief constable? By whom? Somerset the architect. He suspects your having broken into his office or something of the sort." The Stancy briefly related what Somerset had explained to him at the dinner table. "It was merely diamond cut diamond between us, on an architectural matter," murmured Dare. "Oh! And he suspects. And that's his remedy. I hope this is nothing serious?" asked the Stancy gravely. "I peeped at his drawing, that's all. But since he chooses to make that use of my photograph, which I gave him in friendship, I'll make use of his in a way he little dreams of. Well now, let's on." A quarter of an hour later they met in the vestry of the church at Sleeping Green. "I have only just transferred my account to the bank here," said the Stancy, as he took out his checkbook, "and it will be more convenient to me at present to draw but a small sum. I will make up the balance afterwards." When he had written it, Dare glanced over the paper and said ruefully, "It is small, Dad." "Well, there is all the more reason why I should broach my scheme with a view to making such documents larger in the future." "I shall be glad to hear of any such scheme," answered the Stancy, with a languid attempt at jocularity. "Then here it is. The plan I have arranged for you is of the nature of a marriage." "You are very kind." Said the Stancy, agape. "The lady's name is Miss Paula Power, who, as you may have heard since your arrival, is in absolute possession of her father's property and estates, including Stancy Castle. As soon as I heard of her, I saw what a marvelous match it would be for you and your family. It would make a man of you, in short, and I have set my mind upon your putting no objection in the way of its accomplishment. But, Willie, it seems to me that, of us two, it is you who exercise paternal authority?" "True, it is for your good. Let me do it." "Well, one must be indulgent under the circumstances, I suppose. Added the Stancy simply, "Willie, I don't want to marry, you know. I have lately thought that someday we may be able to live together, you and I. Go off to America or New Zealand, where we are not known, and there lead a quiet pastoral life, defying social rules and troublesome observances." "I can't hear of it, Captain," replied Dare approvingly. "I am what events have made me, and having fixed my mind upon getting you settled in life by this marriage, I have put things in train for it at an immense trouble to myself. If you had thought over it o' nights as much as I have, you would not say nay. But I ought to have married your mother if anybody. And as I have not married her, the least I can do in respect to her is to marry no other woman. You have some sort of duty to me, have you not, Captain de Stancy?"
"Yes, Willie, I admit that I have," the elder replied reflectively. "And I don't think I have failed in it thus far?"
"This will be the crowning proof. Paternal affection, family pride, the noble instincts to reinstate yourself in the castle of your ancestors, all demand the step. And when you have seen the lady, she has the figure and motions of a sylph, the face of an angel, the eye of love itself. What a sight she is crossing the lawn on a sunny afternoon, or gliding airily along the corridors of the old place the de Stancys knew so well. Her lips are the softest, reddest, most distracting things you ever saw. Her hair is as soft as silk, and of the rarest, tenderest brown." The captain moved uneasily.
Don't take the trouble to say more, Willie, apostrophe he observed. You know how I am. My cursed susceptibility to these matters has already wasted years of my life, and I don't want to make myself a fool about her too. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you must see her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, don't let me see her, apostrophe Distancy expostulated. If she is only half so good-looking as you say, she will drag me at her heels like a blind Samson. You are a mere youth as yet, but I may tell you that the misfortune of never having been my own master, where a beautiful face was concerned, obliges me to be cautious if I would preserve my peace of mind. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, to my mind, Captain Distancy, your objections seem trivial. Are those all? Apostrophe, they are all I care to mention just now to you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Captain, can there be secrets between us? Apostrophe, Distancy paused and looked at the lad, as if his heart wished to confess what his judgment feared to tell. There should not be on this point, apostrophe, he murmured. Then tell me, why do you so much object to her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I once vowed a vow. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a vow. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dare, rather disconcerted. A vow of infinite solemnity. I must tell you from the beginning, perhaps you are old enough to hear it now, though you have been too young before. Your mother's life ended in much sorrow, and it was occasioned entirely by me. In my regret for the wrong done her, I swore to her that, though she had not been my wife, no other woman should stand in that relationship to me, and this to her was a sort of comfort. When she was dead, my knowledge of my own plague-eye impressionableness, which seemed to be ineradicable as it seems, still led me to think what safeguards I could set over myself with a view to keeping my promise, to live a life of celibacy. And among other things, I determined to forswear the society, and if possible the sight, of women young and attractive, as far as I had the power to do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is not so easy to avoid the sight of a beautiful woman, if she crosses your path, I should think. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is not easy, but it is possible. Apostrophe, apostrophe, how? Apostrophe, apostrophe, by directing your attention another way. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but do you mean to say, Captain, that you can be in a room with a pretty woman who speaks to you, and not look at her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I do. Though mere looking has less to do with it than mental attentiveness allowing your thoughts to flow out in her direction to comprehend her image. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but it would be considered very impolite not to look at the woman or comprehend her image. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it would, and is. I am considered the most impolite officer in the service. I have been nicknamed the man with the averted eyes, the man with the detestable habit, the man who greets you with his shoulder, and so on. 99 fair women at the present moment hate me like poison and death for having persistently refused to plumb the depths of their offered eyes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, how can you do it, who are by nature courteous? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I cannot always, I break down sometimes. But, upon the whole, recollection holds me to it. Dread of a lapse. Nothing is so potent as fear well maintained. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Distancy narrated these details in a grave meditative tone with his eyes on the wall, as if he were scarcely conscious of a listener. But haven't you reckless moments, Captain? When you have taken a little more wine than usual, for instance. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't take wine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, you are a teetotaler? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a pledged one, but I don't touch alcohol, unless I get wet, or anything of that sort. Apostrophe, apostrophe, don't you sometimes forget this vow of yours to my mother? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, I wear a reminder. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what is that like? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Distancy held up his left hand, on the third finger of which appeared an iron ring. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.